on the North Point Ministries podcast. This is the first in the four-part series, Destinations. Andy Stanley examines the disconnect between our dreams and the paths we take to reach them. In this message, we'll discover how the principle of the path impacts every area of our lives.
Well, let's start the series off with a little informal survey. How many of you, and my hand goes up on this, how many of you, like me, are really bad with directions? Like, you're not good with directions yet. Way high, just be proud, yeah. You get lost a lot, people make fun of you. See, most of you are looking at the person next to you like, I know, my hand's up, right? Because you know, and this is what's great, God pairs us with people who don't get lost. That's true. In fact, if you're dating and you want to know if that's your soulmate, you need to find out, are you a lost or an unlost? Because God wouldn't put you with somebody who gets lost too. I don't think he would do that. I don't think. He didn't with me. I have two people in my family who are great. Sandra and Garrett, my second born. He's like, when he was like 10 and 11, he knew where we were always. He was great. And Sandra is, I'm terrible. In fact, the joke is in our family, and no exaggeration, whenever I leave the house and I'm going somewhere I haven't been before, whether she gives me a map and directions, I'm visual, so I like to see a map, but she gives me directions because she's more of a direction person. I have both. I don't have a GPS. The joke is, she knows within 10 minutes, I'm going to call. And so she answers the phone and goes, hello, like, here's the call. It's like, she's like, because even if I'm not lost yet, I know I'm just insecure about the fact that I don't know where I'm going. I'm like, okay, was it on the left or the right? And you know, tell me again. And I just kind of freak out. And for those of you who are like me, you need to know, or the people that are not like me, you need to know, those of us who get lost, we do not get lost on purpose. And you think we do. Here's what you think. You think, you just don't pay attention. We try, don't we? We really try. Okay, I'm not going to call. I'm not going to be an idiot. I'm not going to stop. You know, we really try to pay attention. We're just not very good at it. And the second thing you need to know about us is, and about being lost, is you don't know you're lost when you're getting lost. I mean, let me say it this way. You don't know when you're getting lost. You just know when you're lost. Isn't that weird? It's not, there's not like, you don't know where the line is. It's not like, oops, I just got lost. I'll back up 100 feet and be found. And now I know where I am. It's not like we know where the line is. By the time you realize you're lost, you've been lost a long time. Isn't that true? You don't know when it happened. It happened way before you knew it. And so consequently, especially guys, we drive with confidence when we're lost. Because we don't know we're lost yet. Because we don't know where the line was. So consequently, you don't know when you're getting lost. You just know that suddenly you are lost. It's like it dawns on you, you know? And then the third thing about us and lost people this way is that whatever road you're on determines where you end up. That's pretty deep, wasn't it? That whatever you are on, whether it's a path or a trail you're driving, whatever road you're on, ultimately you will end up where that path takes you. You don't end up where you intended to go. The path determines your destination. Have you noticed that? Your path determines your destination. Now, I notice nobody wrote any of that down. Those of you who are note takers, you're like, okay, keep going because we're with you. I mean, that's pretty intuitive. And here's what we're going to talk about for the next 4 weeks. As obvious as that is in the world of geography, when it comes to the rest of our lives, whether it's our financial lives, our dating life, our marriage life, the way we raise our kids, do our, you know, our education, our profession, whatever it might be, this same principle applies. And I call it the principle of the path, or the path principle. And the path principle says this, that your direction determines your destination. Your direction determines your destination. And in the world of driving, we know that absolutely. You know, that, and to kind of expand on it, direction, not intention, determines your destination. Your direction, not your intention, determines your destination. If you were to load up all your shorts and all your, you know, sunscreen in your car and get on 85 and go north, you will never get to Florida. You just won't. No matter how much you've packed for it, you planned, you intend, you took pictures, you told your friends and neighbors before you pull out of the driveway, you had a little prayer. God, we pray for traveling mercies as we go to Florida. It doesn't matter what you believe, if you've been to church, if you're a Christian, non-Christian, it doesn't matter. If you get on 85 north and you go north on 85, you won't get to Florida, regardless of what your intention is. You say, we know that. And here's what's so interesting and so fascinating. We know that in the world of, you know, hiking, and we know that in the world of driving. But when it comes to the other arenas of life, there's a total disconnect when it comes to this principle. The principle of the path applies to your financial path, because all of you are on a financial path. It applies to the path you've chosen for your marriage. If you're married, you're on a marriage path. It applies to the path you've chosen for dating, if you're in that whole dating scheme of life, or maybe you're back into it after being married for a long time, and you're thinking, how in the world do I navigate, you know, the complexities of dating after I've been married? It's true of your profession. It's true in terms of your health. There's a path for all of these things, and the principle of the path applies to every one of these paths, whether it's your health, your finances, your profession, your marriage, whatever it might be. That your direction, not your intentions, not your hopes, not your dreams, not your prayers, not your belief, your direction ultimately determines your destination. That we are all, at multiple levels of our life, we are victims or participants in the principle of the path. Now, we're going to talk about this for a few weeks because my biggest concern and the thing that's kind of driving me is I continue to see such a huge disconnect in people between where they want to end up and the path they've chosen. And we're going to talk about, give you lots of illustrations, but over and over I talk to people whose lives are crashed and burned, or their marriage blew up, or their finances blew up, and you listen to them tell their story, and you've heard friends of yours tell the same kinds of stories. They tell the story, and they're so brokenhearted over where they've ended up, but when you listen to them talk about the path they went down, you thought, like many people have thought, well, what did you expect? And there's this contrast between my hopes and my dreams were here, but I chose a path that led me this way. And you know what? I ended up exactly where that path took me. That's the principle of the path. And now I'm so brokenhearted. I'm so angry at God because I'm not where I hoped I would be. And you want to say, well, then why did you walk down that path? It's because we think intention and we think hopes and dreams somehow trump the decisions we make on a daily basis. But the truth is, the principle of the path principle, trumps our hopes and dreams and intentions every single time. That direction, the direction you choose determines your destination. Now, to make this a little bit clearer, hopefully, I want to go to a passage of scripture that tells an interesting story about a specific path. Now, we're going to talk about lots of different paths. This is a very specific path, but it illustrates the principle. So if you brought your Bible, I would love for you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 7, and I'll kind of walk you through these verses, and then I'll come and we'll talk about this in a broader way, and then we'll wrap this up and get you out of here. Proverbs chapter 7, and let me tell you what's going on there. Proverbs, this chapter of Proverbs, was written by the wisest man in the world, Solomon, and the way he writes this is so interesting. He tells a story, and we don't know if it's a true story or it's sort of a parable story that represents something that happened in his past, but he's standing at a window. He's looking down in the street, and he sees a guy walking along, and he realizes that he knows the outcome of this guy's journey, but this guy doesn't. Now, this has happened to all of us in some capacity of life. Maybe you've been at an intersection, and you see two cars, and you realize they don't see each other, and you know the future for just a moment. And it's like, oh, you saw it coming. It's like, in that moment, you were kind of like God. Just for a moment, okay? Or maybe if you're a parent, you've seen your toddlers or your children make a decision or move in a direction and you can just see it coming. There it goes, crash, right? Every once in a while, we get a snapshot of someone's destiny or where somebody's going to end up. It may, again, be just in a moment or it may be a longer span of time. But all of us have probably been in a situation where we had an inkling or a hunch about where a person was heading or what something that was going to happen to a person before they did. And that's what happens here. And so Solomon navigates and narrates this kid's journey. And in doing so, he illustrates this simple principle that every path has a destination. And the direction a person takes or the path they choose determines their destination. So let me read this to you and it'll kind of make sense as we go along. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 6 is where we're beginning. Verse 6. He says, "At the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice, and I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who lacked judgment." Now, there's a lesson here, and we won't spend a lot of time on this, but you see, all youths lack judgment. And the reason is, it's not because there's anything wrong with youth, it's because judgment requires time and experience, and young people don't have time or experience. None of us did. So consequently, we lack judgment. So this is why if you're a teenager or somebody gives you this CD because you need to listen to this, the reason your parents come down on you sometimes is because they have perspective you don't have and they think you lack judgment. You're thinking, well, I may lack judgment, but look what you're wearing. So don't tell me you have judgment. Look at those pants. Oh my gosh, So there's that whole thing. But the truth is, as bad as your parents dress, and as weird as they do their hair or whatever, that they have time and experience. And time and experience oftentimes gives us judgment. So Solomon looks at this guy and says, nice guy, cool guy, whatever. But he doesn't have judgment because he's young and consequently doesn't have experience. So he sees this guy walking down the street. Verse 8, he was going down the street near her corner. walking along in the direction of her house at twilight as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. Now, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to pretty much anticipate where this story is going, do you? You don't even have to have read this story before. And here's the interesting thing about this, and we'll come back to this. It's so interesting. Here's this kid walking down the street. The sun's going down. He's headed toward this woman's house. And as we discover in just a minute, he knows all about who this woman is. The sun's going down. And in the back of his mind, there's a soundtrack playing. And it's either Born to Be Wild or Party Like a Rock Star, depending on what generation you're from. And in his mind, it's like, this is going to be like the greatest thing. I mean, it's just, you know, he's just going. Meanwhile, up at the window, Solomon's watching this whole thing, and there's a soundtrack in his mind as well. It's the Jaws music. And there's this huge contrast between what this kid is experiencing and what he thinks he's experiencing and how this older, wiser man sees this. And the reason there's such a contrast is because the older, wiser guy knows the principle of the path. The kid thinks it's about to be an exciting event. The older, wiser man says, no, it's not an event. It's a path. And every path has a destination. And this is a path with a very predictable destination. Story continues. Verse 10. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute, though she's not a prostitute, and with crafty intent. She is loud and defiant. Her feet never stay at home, now in the street, now in the squares. At every corner she lurks. And she took hold of him and she kissed him. And with a brazen face she said, this means nothing to us, I have fellowship offerings at home. Whoa. You know, basically what she's saying is, I'm not a prostitute. I have plenty of money. I'm not after your money. Then she says this. This is odd. Today I fulfilled my vows. Again, means nothing to us. Here's what she was saying. She was saying, I've been to the temple and I got everything squared away with God. I took my big bucket of sin and I dumped it out on the altar and I sacrificed an animal and God has forgiven me all of my sins in the past. Now I have an empty bucket and I am ready to fill it up again with you. Ooh. Every one of us in this room has done that to some capacity, if you're Catholic or Protestant. Because both Catholics and Protestants, we have a little system with God, don't we? Catholics, yours is pretty sophisticated because you go out and fill up your bucket with sin, then you go to confession and dump it all out and the priest absolves you of your sin. You go out with your empty bucket looking for an opportunity to fill it up again next week. All right? Protestants, same thing. We just skip the priest and confession. Because we've been told we don't need any of that. We just go, dear Heavenly Father, please forgive me all my sins. And we've been told that God gets out a big eraser and he erases all of our sins. And then he can't even remember what he erased. And he's going, I don't even know what they did. And then we have a big empty bucket and we can go fill it up. And anytime we pray this magic verse, 1 John 1:9, we can get all our sins forgiven and we can just live any way we want to. Ooh. And you know what? It's such an insult to God. It's basically saying, God, you're so stupid. You're so stupid. I have got the system figured out. We all play that game from time to time. She was playing that game. So she says to this young man, you know what? I am squared away with God, and I am ready to fill up my bucket one more time with sin with you. Look what happens. Verse 15, so I came out, and then she says something three times here to just really focus. Listen to this. So I came out to meet not just anybody. I came out to meet you. I looked for you and have found you. And he's thinking, dude, she came out here looking for me. I am so special. I'm one of a kind. I'm the man of her dreams. This is unique. This is the stuff stories are made of and songs are written about. And I'm can't wait to tell my friends. I mean, this is unbelievable. I came walking down here thinking maybe I'd see her. She came out looking for me. And the volume goes up to about 8 or 9, you know, in the soundtrack of, you know, what's going on. This is so awesome. Verse 16. I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I perfume my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deep of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. He's thinking, am I dreaming? This is unreal. This is like being in a music video, except it's real. It's perfect. Verse 19, my husband is not at home. He's thinking, I'm assuming that, you know. thanks for just, you know, taking away that one question in my mind. My husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey, which means you don't have to rush out in the morning. You can hang around, have a couple of cigarettes. We can have breakfast. I mean, we're good. This is better than you expected. He took his purse. You know, that used to throw me off. It's like, his purse. Maybe that's why they're having this issue in their marriage. I don't know. Just kidding. His man bag. He took his man bag. You should read the Bible. I tell you that every week. You should read your Bible. He took his purse or his man bag or his backpack or whatever, filled with money, and will not come home until full moon. I mean, he's gone a long time. You can come back tomorrow night. You can move in. With persuasive words, she led him astray, and she seduced him with her smooth talk. Verse 22. And all at once, he followed her. And he's thinking, I am like a celebrity. I am like a rock star. I'm like a well-known person walking into a club. And all eyes are on me. And I can take my pick. I'm like a professional athlete that women are clamoring to sleep with. And I just take my pick. I mean, this is the ultimate. This is like a dream come true. This is a good thing. This is an event I will talk about. And the wiser older man says this. All at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter. No. Not like an ox going to a slaughter, like Mr. Rich and Famous walking into a club. No. Like an ox going to a slaughter. No, did you not hear the soundtrack of my life? No, I hear the Jaws music. Wait, how can it be so different? Well, in case you didn't get ox to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces its liver. This is graphic. He repeats it. Basically, he says, you know what this is like? You're like a deer who sees a wonderful place to settle in and nestle down, and she steps in through a noose, and suddenly it's around her foot, and she yanks and yanks and yanks and yanks and realizes, uh-oh, I'm in trouble, and yanks and yanks and yanks and can't get away, and it tightens, and then suddenly, from the periphery, the hunters appear with their bow and arrows, and from a safe distance, fill her full of arrows till she breathes her last breath. Oh, is that enough? Not enough? How about a third one? Like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing that it will cost him his life. No, wait. You're like my dad up there in the window. You're like my mom. You're like you are raining on my parade. No, you got this all wrong. This is just a date. No, it's a path. This is just an event. No, it's not. It's a path. See, you're all focused on what you're doing. I'm up here focused on where you're heading. You're focused on the immediate. I'm focused on the ultimate. You're focused on the here and now. I'm focused on tomorrow. Two contrasting perspectives on the very same event. And listen to this. Verse 24. Now Solomon pulls out of that narrative, pulls out of that scene, and he begins to address you and he begins to address me. Verse 24, now then, my sons, listen to me. And then he repeats it for emphasis. Pay attention to what I say. In other words, he's going, now look up here. Come on. Don't get all caught up and, don't sit over here guys going, whoa, that would be great. And women, don't sit over here going, she's disgusting. Just everybody focus here for just a second, all right? He's going, look, there is a huge lesson to be learned here. There's a huge lesson to be learned here. Don't judge too quick. Don't take yourself out of the equation too quick. There's a huge lesson to be learned here. Here's what he says. Verse 25, do not let your heart, we're going to come back to that, turn to her ways or stray into her paths. The guy's thinking, paths? I just went to her house. This is just an event. Verse 26, Many are the victims she has brought down. In other words, buddy, I hate to break it to you. This is not a unique situation. I know you're going, I've never felt this way before, but a lot of other people have. And you're thinking to yourself, this is unique. It's me and her. It's, all kinds of people. And it's just, this is special. This is my soulmate. This is unique. This is a one of a kind thing. And Solomon's going, no, you fool. This is so common. This is a path. This is so predictable, it's laughable, and you're deceived into thinking that it's some kind of unique experience designed just for you. He's saying many, many are those she's brought down. Listen to this. He repeats the idea. Her slain are a mighty throng. In other words, buddy, you're part of a crowd. Lots of people have done this, not necessarily with her, but this scenario that you're creating here with you and this married woman whose husband's gone, this is so commonplace. Now, remember, this is written almost 3,000 years ago. Well, nothing's changed much, has it? He says, look, this is so predictable. You are on a path, and every path has a destination, and your destination is so predictable, I can say with confidence, even before anything happens, you're like an ox to the slaughter. You're like a deer that's going to be shot full of arrows. You're like a bird in a snare. How can you say that? You're so judgmental. I'm not being judgmental. This is just predictable. It's a path with a destination. Now listen to this. Verse 27, if you hadn't gotten it the first two times. Her house is a highway. It is a four-lane highway with an HOV lane, double deck. So many people have gone down this road. Don't think for a minute that you're about to have some kind of unique, special experience. Her house is a highway to the grave leading down to the chambers of death. Now, the thing is, when I started reading the story, you kind of already knew where it was going. How did you know where it was going? Because somehow we know this when it's somebody else, don't we? This is why, if you've ever been to a counselor, you've ever been to a good counselor, and you tell about half your story and they interrupt and say, and I bet when that happened, you felt, and you went, yes, I did. And I bet your husband or your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your wife, I bet they did this. That's exactly right. You are so smart. And they're thinking, I'm not smart. I heard this story 800 zillion times. You're just like the last idiot that left here 30 minutes ago and paid me $50. This is so predictable. And you're going, but I had such these. It's not unique. It is a path. It's a highway. It's a crowded highway that you've chosen, either for good or for evil. Here's all I want to say this first week as we start this series. We can't live with the disconnect that our culture so oftentimes hands us. The disconnect that says, as long as my intentions are good, and as long as my intentions are positive, and as long as I want to end up somewhere good, it doesn't matter what path I take. Because at the end of the day, the path you take trumps your good intentions. This kid had all the right ideas, you know, and it's going to be fine, it's going to work out. And the wise man says, no, it's not. You're an ox to the slaughter. You're not a celebrity on a stage. You know, you're not a rock star stepping into a club. You got it all wrong. I made a list just to kind of get you thinking. Here's the disconnect. All right, let me just read you a few of these. I want to end up with a great Christian guy who's really got his act together. That's my intention. So I'm going to go out with whoever asks me if they're cute. Oh, stop a second. Yeah. See, I have this vision, this picture of what I want my relationship, you know, ultimately to be with a guy. Well, what are you doing? Well, the path I've chosen is I go out with anybody who asks me if they're cute. And I think going out with anybody who asks me if they're cute will somehow lead me to that destination. No. You gotta understand. The path trumps the intention. How about this one? I want our family to be a unit, looking forward to vacation together, being very family-centered. And one day my kids will have kids and we'll all just spend time together. So I'm going to work all the time. Yeah, I'm just going to basically be a workaholic, but my intention is that we have family kind, you know, this kind of family, but I'm going to work all the time. Well, let me just tell you, the path trumps the intention because direction determines destination. I want my kids to respect me. I mean, when I grow up, I want my kids to come to me for advice. I want my kids to one day have kids, and I want my grandkids to come to me for advice. I want to be like, you know, the sort of the statesman of our family that's the wise person. So I'm going to fool around on their mom. What? I mean, that's not going to lead to respect. I know, but this is the path I've chosen. But somehow at the end of the day, and Andy, I don't understand why my kids won't call me. I don't understand why my kids won't have anything to do with me. I don't understand what happened. Well, I'm not all that smart, but you chose a path that leads to gaining the disrespect of your kids. And now you have the disrespect of your kids. That's where that path goes. Hey, guys, that's where that path goes. Every time, and you think you'll be an exception, you won't be. It's a path with a laid out destination. It's a highway. And it doesn't matter how smart you are or wealthy you are. If you get on 85 and go north, you won't go to Florida. And if you get on that pathway, it's not the pathway that leads to respect. I want to grow old and invest in my grandchildren, so I'm going to neglect my health. I want to lose weight. I want to be thin, so supersize that. I want to know God. I meet people who just spend time and they know the Bible and they just seem so close to God. And my intention is to be that kind of person. So I'm going to get up every morning and read the newspaper. How about this one? When I get married, I want to have like an incredible sex life. I just want that intimate part of our marriage to just be great. So I'm going to practice with everybody I date. You know what breaks my heart? We have so many singles in our church, which I love, and so many college students, and we have a campus, you know, not a campus, we have a strategic partner in Athens, you know, Athens Church. It's just going great out there. We're connected, so many singles. And I don't know that anything breaks my heart like this thing in our culture that says, the best way to ensure great sex in marriage is to sleep with everybody all the way. Listen, that's a path. And you will not find somebody in their 50s who says, you know what, the path of sleeping with everybody on the way to marriage is what results in a great marriage or a great sex life in marriage. You won't find them. That is a path with a very, very specific and predetermined destination. And in our culture, nobody says that. It's all about, here's what I intend, but here's what I'm going to do. There's a disconnect. How about this one? I'm kind of skipping around. Here, I like this one. I want to have a great relationship with my husband. I mean, when I think about our marriage, here's what I want our marriage to look like. So I'm going to prioritize the kids over my husband. I see this all the time. So you go to a small group and do a marriage curriculum, and you go to a marriage conference, and you read a book on marriage, you go to counseling for your marriage, and you do all that stuff because you have all these great intentions. But in the meantime, day to day, I'm just going to prioritize the kids over my husband. That's a path. It leads somewhere specific, and you can't trump it with your prayers, your intentions, small group, reading books, praying, going to church, because God set this in place. Direction determines destination, not intention. There's a bunch more. Hey, you get the point? You see, here's the question for you, for me. As you think about your finances, I missed the one in there. It says, you know, hey, I want to be financially secure, so I'm going to, you know, get a lot of consumer debt. I want to be financially secure. I want to wake up and not have to worry about finances, so I'm going to take on more and more and more and more debt. Great intention. This path won't get you there. As you think about your financial path, your marriage path, your dating path, your moral path, your entertainment, your professional, your education, as you think about those paths, the question that we're going to ask is this. Are the paths you're on going to get you where you want to be? And you see, somebody's already begun warning you in some cases, haven't they? Here's what happens. The reason we are so enamored with the wrong path, and I don't know you or your story, but I imagine if we sat down and I ask enough questions, we'd get to this place. The reason we are so enamored with the wrong path is because there's something or somebody on that path that has such a strong emotional appeal, and it is emotional, it is not rational, has such a strong emotional appeal that we get so fixated on the immediate, we don't think about the ultimate. That was the case of the kid in the story. And for you, it may be a dollar sign. I gotta have this deal, I gotta have this deal, I gotta have the deal, gotta have the promotion, gotta have, you know, but wait. Is that really gonna get you where you wanna be? Well, I don't really have time to think about that. There's something so emotionally appealing that it gets a hook in our heart. Remember in the verse? He said, don't let her take your heart. Don't let her steal your heart. Don't let her get her tentacles into your heart. And the reason we're so enamored with the wrong path is because there's something on the wrong path that has such huge emotional appeal. And we get so fixated on what's on the path, we don't even know that we're even on a path, because it's all about the person or the thing. And then somebody comes along and says, hey, maybe it's none of my business, but you know what? Do you realize where this is taking you? And you're thinking, I'm not going anywhere. It's all about here and now. And God says, no, it's not about the moment. It's not about the immediate. It's about the ultimate. And you can't trump the principle of the path with good intentions. That's why you should always listen to God and your mama. Because your mama knows, and your mama's tried to warn you. She wouldn't stand up there at the window and watch and write a book in the Bible. She would open the lattice, throw open the glass, and say, hey, hey, you're about to make a huge mistake. And you say, oh, mom. And your mom's thinking, no. This isn't an event. This isn't just a date. This isn't just a deal. This isn't just a move. This isn't just a decision. This is a path you're on. And it's a path with a predetermined destination. And you need to stand back and take a moment and ask the question, if I continue on this path, is it really going to get me where I ultimately want to be? For many of us, we're not able to figure this out on our own. This is why I think so oftentimes God brings relatives or accountability partners or friends or people in a small group, or hopefully you have somebody who's wise around you to tap you on the shoulder, to send you that email, to make that really very awkward phone call and say, you know what? I'm watching and I've seen your behavior and I've seen your decisions and I feel like you're moving in a very, very dangerous direction. You're going, I don't think I'm even moving in any direction. And they're looking at your life like the guy from the window saying, I think you're moving in a dangerous direction. The question is, at that moment and in that time, will we listen? Or will we think somehow we are going to somehow break the principle of the path? That somehow we'll be able to move in a direction and you never experience the destination. On the flip side, this principle, like every principle, works for you or against you. Some of you sitting here, you have been on the path of faithfulness year after year after year after year after year, and you're just beginning to experience the incredible benefit and blessing of being faithful. Some of you have been on the path of forgiveness. You've been hurt and wounded, and you've just decided, I'm not going down the path of bitterness. I'm just not. And you've been on the path of forgiveness and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive, and you're beginning to reach the destination that happens when you become a grace-filled, forgiving person. You've been financially responsible and you've driven smaller and you've lived smaller and you've not dressed as nice and you've stayed out of debt and you've just been a steady plotter staying on that path. And you've begun to experience the rewards of that. And God didn't just bless you overnight because of a decision. You chose a path that has a predetermined destination because it's a principle. Direction determines destination, not your intentions. So here's the question. When you think about your financial path, your relational path specifically, and all the different variations on that theme, your spiritual path, is the path you're on going to take you where you ultimately want to be? Has someone recently tried to warn you and you blew them off? Has someone tried to point ahead and say, and you're like, you know what? Here's what you thought. You thought you're smarter than that. You're cooler than that. You're slicker than that. Somehow you'll work it out. Somehow what happens to everybody else on that path isn't going to happen to you. Somehow the fact that everybody else ends up in that same destination, you think somehow you're going to avoid it. But you can't. It's a principle. Direction determines destination. Direction, not intention, determines your destination. So the question is, what about the path you're on? And where is it taking you? Next week when we come back for part two, I'm going to share a prayer with you that Sandra and I began to pray at the beginning of our marriage. We've prayed it ever since. We prayed it for our marriage. We prayed it for our kids because we were smart enough to know that we didn't always know where certain paths led like you don't. And as we were making decisions early on, and then as we've made decisions at different stages in our life, not knowing, I mean, we've tried to, get it right, and we've not always gotten it right, and I've not always gotten it right. But as we've said, God, I don't want to wake up at the end of 40s or at the end of 50s or at the end of 30s somewhere I don't want to be accidentally, because you can't go back and recoup. You can't go back and be 30 over again or 20 over again. You get to do it once. And so we begin to pray a prayer, and I'm going to share that prayer with you next week. And it is a prayer directly related to this issue of, God, I want to be where you want me to be. And would you please help me know how to make the right pathway decisions? It's a prayer that has reaped incredible benefit in our marriage and in our lives together. And I can't wait to share it with you next week. But before we get there, here's what I want to leave you with. If it's true that direction determines destination, what direction are you going in? Morally? What direction are you going in? Your marriage? What direction are you going in? Your finances? What are the paths you've chosen? And is it possible that maybe this is the time, this is the stage, this is the moment when you need to begin making some course corrections, because ultimately, direction determines destination. I know for many of you, this impacts you differently. For some, you breathe a sigh of relief. You thank God for 5 or 10 or 15 years of doing the right thing. For others of you, you've begun to arrive at some unpleasant destinations, and perhaps you've been mad at God. Perhaps you've been mad at somebody else. Perhaps you're mad at yourself. We're going to talk about that later in the series as well. But this week, would you allow this simple principle to begin to settle in over your life and ask God to give you insight to see where you are and where you're not, and then give you the courage to maybe do something about it? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this principle. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the wisdom of Solomon. Thank you for the words of Jesus that speak directly to this as well. And Father, we're all over the map in terms of our experience and our expectations and our hurts and our hopes and our fears. Would you give us wisdom to know what to do with what we've heard? Would you please give us the courage to walk out of here and then do it? And I pray that in the years to come, we would all benefit from the positive side of this principle, that we become men and women who are steady plodders down the right path and one day enjoy the benefit, the experience of a destination that honors you and that is consistent with where we want it to be at that stage of life. We're very, very thankful, and we love you so much. Thanks for letting us talk about these things freely. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the North Point Ministries podcast of Destinations by Andy Stanley. Visit northpointresources.org to learn more about his new book on this topic entitled The Principle of the Path. Plus, for a limited time, when you order the book, get a free leadership DVD featuring an interview on this topic with Andy.